Blog Talk Radio.
I hate how long that is.
That's your life. People telling you what to do.
Greetings and salutations, rule breakers. Welcome to another amazing episode of No Rules, Just Mics. We are the No Rules radio show, bringing you the latest and sometimes controversial topics you want to know. I am one of your hosts. I am Topher, here with two of my amazing co-hosts. I have Christian and I have Burson. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Good to be back after a week off. Happy to be here excited to be, you know, here at this 9 o'clock hour. It's kind of late. I'm sleepy. I don't know how you guys did this last week. Burson, Topher, how are you guys doing?
Well, we actually pulled off a very successful show last week without you. So it was actually, it was good. It was a little bit different time frame, though. For me, it was a little bit better. It fit into my time schedule just a little bit better. But I know it is for you East Coasterners a lot later. So, but I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little cold, a little chilly where I'm at right now, which I'm in a remote location, and I'll let Christian kind of guess to see where I'm at this week.
Well, I have to guess where you're at?
Yeah, because you weren't here last week. For everybody,
I wasn't, but I listened to the show.
Okay.
But well, now you're going to test my memory, which is not very good.
Uh-oh.
You are in a remote location.
I'll give you a
salt and Alabama shake.
Wait, no. You're in Missouri.
No, colder.
Damn it.
More northern. So I'm still in the state of Illinois, but I'm up in the Chicago area, and it feels like Canada because it is so cold up here.
I thought you were traveling for work.
You guys, I swear. So we miss Christian, and I know that we were talking about a bunch of different things, but we need to talk about, of course, our website, which is myuncensoredradio.com. You guys can find us there. You can find our bios. You can find some of our great episodes that we've done in the past. You can always find us on iTunes through our podcast. You just search No Rules, Just Mics, and we are there. We can do weekend roundup, or Christian, if you're ready, let's do a Holy City Center update because it's been a long time since I've heard one of those.
All right. We can do that. Do you want me to touch on, I know you talked about it last week, but since we're talking about Holy City, you want to touch on the award?
Yes, we can do that first.
All
if
right.
You'd like. I like talking
all
about
it. All right, we'll
myself.
Go. Great. I'll go through it a little bit quicker than we did last week. Well, or it's just you guys did last week because you guys already heard it. But for those who weren't here, Topher, myself, are up for a couple of Best of Charleston awards from the Charleston City Paper, an alternative newspaper here. And if you don't know what that means, a lot of big cities have, smaller papers that tend to just deal with events and culture more than, you know, normal day-to-day news. And so every year they do the Best of with restaurants and news and media and recreation, concerts, bands, whatever it is, everything that you could possibly think of. So you don't have to be from Charleston to vote. You go to charlestoncitypaper.com. There is a longer link that we'll post in the chat, which you guys can click on. But for those listening or checking in later, just go to charlestoncitypaper.com. There's an icon as well as a link that says click here to vote. All you got to do is put in an email, create an account. They don't send you any email or anything like that, so really easy to do. You want to click over to the media section. Mr. Topher is up for Best Talk Show Host and Best Radio Personality against some other locals.
Yay!
Bravo to you, sir. I was excited to see that. And I may have a chance to win because obviously getting nominated was kind of a surprise for us. We didn't know what was going to happen, so that was great. And who knows? We'll see. We've been trying to get out the vote for you. And myself, I'm up for my other project, which is Holy City Center. I'm up for best Twitter feed and best local blog. You can just type in Holy City Center for both of those. At this point, you just have to click on that name. It's a multiple choice at this point. So go vote for us. We appreciate it. If you are from Charleston or have some time to kill, we have some friends who were guests on the show. They're also up for awards. The Orange Spot is up for best coffee shop. Charles Powell from Food Mancing the Grill is up for actually the two awards that I'm up for, so you don't have to vote for him if you don't want to, but it's nice to recognize it. And Ryan Lill, of course, is up for Best Male Vocalist and Best Musician. So some folks with ties to the show are also up for awards, which is pretty cool. And we'll have to get Burson to move back here so we can get him nominated for something next year. Or get the whole show nominated next year, which would be pretty great. So anyway, that's a big thing that's going on in Charleston, so be sure to check that out. Voting ends on, I believe, February 3rd is what I saw today. So we still got some time, but we got to get the vote out, take home some awards, hopefully. As for the city itself, pretty typical January weekend. Lots of oyster roasts are going on at various places. You can find out all the details at holycitycenter.com/events. Charleston Restaurant Week will finish up this weekend as well. A lot of restaurants in the Avondale neighborhood of Charleston offering up discounts and, fixed-price menus and such. Have the Charleston Home and Design Show this weekend, as well as the Charleston Boat Show. So if you're in the market for boats, like boats, or just want to check out what's the latest and greatest in home design, both of those are this weekend. They're relatively cheap, which is pretty good as well. So definitely something to check out. AFI, a band who had a few hits in the 2000s, they are going to be at the Music Farm tomorrow night, actually. So that's a pretty decent-sized concert that will be going on. There's another convention called Repticon. It's all about reptiles. If that's your thing, snakes and turtles and lizards and stuff.
Well, that's going on Saturday and Sunday in Mount Pleasant. Outside of that, lots of concerts, a ton of plays going on, theater-type stuff. Certainly a lot of stuff for, all tastes. So you can head over to the website, check it out. The other big news today was that comedian and actor from Parks and Recreation, Aziz Ansari, absolute last-minute show announcement today. It'll be on March 12th at the Music Hall, but they just announced it today. Tickets went on sale at 8. When I logged on at, 8:27, all the lower section was already sold out, so tickets going fast. Perhaps another show in the works. We'll see. So that was the big news today, so something to look for as well. So that's
about what's going on in Charleston this weekend and beyond. And we'll keep you posted every week with what's going on in the Holy City.
That's awesome. Are you in a tunnel? Because you sound a little muffled.
No, sorry. I was balancing something in my hand, using my computer. Hopefully I sound better now.
I guess I'll have to take this.
I think better might be a relative term, though. So.
Well, yeah, it's true when we're on cell phones. But
agreed.
Anyway.
Agreed. Let's hope that we can work on that. So what are you doing this weekend? Now that we know what the Holy City Center rundown has given us, what are you guys doing this weekend?
Not sure yet. Very much up in the air. Had a few invites to do some things, just we haven't really gotten together. It's been a very busy week with jobs. Girlfriend got a new job, which has been exciting. And I finally got out of the bad place. So, we haven't quite decided yet, but I'm sure we'll take advantage of at least one or two of those plans that I mentioned.
Well, that's going to be awesome. What about you, Chris Burson? Are you going to just try to stay warm this weekend, or are you going to do something?
I'm undecided right now. My brother lives up in the Chicago area, so I don't know if I'm going to spend an extra day up here. I know he's got plans on Friday. So I'm really, truly still up in the air if I'm going to stay up here, if I'm going to make the trek back down to Peoria and just try and stay warm. But, yeah, that's first and foremost on my list, to stay warm.
Nice. That's kind of awesome. So I know that you were trying to make plans with some people to get down to Charleston. Any luck on that?
I'm trying to find, or actually I'm trying to convince a couple people to go with me. I know that I have friends that that I used to stay with out in Charleston that were making a road trip, and I got really excited thinking that they were going to come drive out here and hijack me and then bring me back. It turns out that that wasn't the case, though, so I got instantly sad. But I am trying to make a trip as soon as practical to get to Charleston to visit everybody, absolutely.
And to meet for the first time, because I've never met you. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, you can put this put a face to this pretty voice. Wait, no, put a pretty face. No, none of it matches, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, speaking of pretty faces, the one and only Senior Bieber has been arrested.
I thought somehow you were going to tie this into Britney Spears. I really did.
Well, we can certainly talk about her. I know that you don't care for my conversations about that. But you did get me a cup, so I'm just saying. I have
well,
no reason
so,
to talk
so
about
not,
that.
Not to sidetrack too much, but I'm gonna derail the conversation away from Justin Bieber and deflect it back to Britney. So I do know that a challenge was issued that said that if you got a gift of a certain type, that you would not re-gift it and you would probably take a picture, but the picture was with the device and either your face or in your hands. All I see is a picture of the mug.
Well, my face does not need to ruin the beauty of that cup. I'm just going to say.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take
it. It's an awesome mug. I love it. I think it's... I saw it and I laughed so hard. I was like, this is probably the best gift ever. It was hysterical. So if you
well,
guys know what
you
we're talking
enjoy.
About, you can just go over to my Facebook page. Go, it's, what is it? Facebook.com/ my name, I'm sure. Yep, Facebook.com/ToferCassidy, and you can see the mug, and it says, Britney is my homegirl. And I just dig that. I thought that was awesome. Anyway.
Instant classic.
So speaking of the other pop star that's out there, Justin Bieber was arrested. According to Online, he was arrested in Miami after getting pulled over in a Lamborghini around 4 a.m. Justin, who did not have a valid driver's license, failed a sobriety test and was later charged with a DUI and drag racing. He told a police officer that he was taking prescription antidepressants and had also been smoking marijuana all day, quote unquote. The singer also admitted to have been drinking beer earlier that night, and his bond was set to $2,500 on charges including drunk driving and resisting arrest. And that was according to CNN. I mean, really? I don't know. What? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't know.
Well, there's so many funny angles to this. I mean, people on social media were hilarious with it today. Especially once his mugshot came out, he's like smiling like an idiot. And then a little bit later, there's a picture of him in court, and he didn't look so happy anymore. So I think in his drunk and highness kind of wore off by the time he went in front of a judge. And he just looked ridiculous in his prison jumpsuit because it was like he was like swimming in it, and it didn't look like such a badass, you know, how he always, the way he dresses and tries to be so cool
right.
and stuff like that. And people were posting funny things like little memes and things on Facebook. And, you know, the thing is, are we really surprised here? I was surprised he's only 19. I thought he was older than that. I didn't realize he was, you know, still under 21. But, you know, it's just, he's doing, to be honest, he's just doing something that's, you know, any kid at 19 may do. You know, maybe drinking a little, maybe smoking a little pot, you know, drag racing, just being stupid. But because it's Justin Bieber, it's just a little bit funnier, and people are going to make fun of it. And, you know, rightfully so, just because of how douchey he tends to act, you know, and he's in the public eye. But honestly, if you step back and... So if you take the name away from him, he's doing something incredibly dumb. Like, you shouldn't be drinking and driving, especially drag racing. You shouldn't be mixing alcohol with drugs, prescription and otherwise. So I think if you take it away, you know, it's just like any kid acting like a moron, you know. It doesn't excuse it, but that's just my thought.
No, it doesn't excuse it, but what I find really interesting is that this is kind of, it's become kind of a humorous thing, and His followers, his believers, are all over Twitter doing hashtag, we will always support you, Justin. I think it's kind of ridiculous because, you know, if Britney Spears did something like that, I've kind of brought it up, or Lindsay Lohan, or whoever is in the public eye, Katy Perry, whoever did something like that, they would be slammed for it. All of a sudden, their life is going down a spiral hill, and all of a sudden, this is going wrong, and all of a sudden, this is going on, and it's going to be plastered all over the place, and it's not going to be a funny thing. People are going to be pissed off about this. But this, it seems like everybody's like, oh, that's just Justin Bieber, blah, blah, blah. No, I think it's a little ridiculous.
The fundamental issue that I have with all of this is that, let's take a snapshot. He's a 19-year-old kid who has rented a Lamborghini, which I thought, first and foremost, you had to be 25 to rent a car, so that's thrown out the window. You have
money that.
Yeah, he doesn't have a valid driver's license. He failed the field sobriety test. He was charged a DUI. He resisted arrest. So there's just so many different things that are playing into it. Plus that he's 19. He admits to taking prescription medication while driving. He admits to smoking marijuana and under the influence while driving. There's just so many different things that factor into the story that make it ridiculous. And the thing
right.
that we're talking about now is we're still talking about it. We're still talking about Justin Bieber in the news and him acting crazy. Last week it was egging his neighbor's house. This week it's getting arrested. So I'm curious to see what next week will bring.
You know, you're right. You're definitely right. There's a lot of weird things. And also, wasn't his bail like $2,500? I mean, I know with
yeah.
a celebrity, they're not going to like do anything ridiculous just to like compensate. So I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I wouldn't expect him to have anything different than someone, you know, that's regularly in the public eye. But, I mean, I don't know. This is just me guessing. For the amount of things he was arrested for and charged or will be charged with, that seemed, like, incredibly low to me. Like, I don't know. I know a lot of times with DUIs, people just get let off without having to pay any kind of bond and everything. But when he had resisting arrest, and things like that, I was kind of surprised. I thought the bond would be a little bit higher than that, you know, taking the celebrity out of it. But,
right.
you know, whatever. The bottom line is this is probably just going to get brushed under the rug, you know, whatever. It's his first big offense, and
yeah.
that's fine. You know, hopefully he'll learn from it. The other funny part to it was there's a bunch of, ex-football player, Keyshawn Johnson, used to play for the Jets, the Buccaneers, now an analyst on ESPN. A year or so ago, he was complaining on Twitter about how Justin Bieber was driving like a maniac around the neighborhood. I guess he lives nearby to him, and he was always talking about how he's such a problem. So today on Twitter, he even said, you know, oh, finally got what was coming to him. I'm glad no one was hurt, and hopefully he'll learn the lesson and get better and blah, blah, blah. It's just funny seeing this ex-NFL player calling out Justin Bieber, this 19-year-old kid who's probably like less than half this guy's height. And it was just, I don't know, that was kind of humorous to me. But,
well,
you take the celebrity out of it, it's not that funny.
The good part that you brought up, Christian, was that he was glad that nobody got hurt. So all the people
right.
that are like, oh, you know, we'll stand next to you no matter what you do, you can't do any wrong. What would have happened if he would have caused an accident? And you know what, I'll go there.
Right.
The accident to the proportion of a Paul Walker incident. What
right,
would have happened
right.
at that point? Would people still stand by him? At 19 years old, who's under the influence, and they do a toxicology report and find out he's on antidepressants, and he's had over the legal limit for alcohol, and he's got marijuana in his system. At that point, would you still feel bad for this guy?
No, I wouldn't at all, and I don't think anybody would. And, you know, to Topher's point about how his fans are coming to his defense and how he didn't think that other people would, I think you'd be surprised. I think fans would come to other people's defense. If it's, I'm talking about the same level of crime, not as bad as you mentioned, Chris, but
yeah.
At that same level, I think people would come to defense. I think a lot of people are bashing him today, more so than you may think. If you're just paying attention to his fans, I mean, they're delusional already. I meant to touch on that before.
Yeah.
They're completely delusional and crazy. So that's fine. And I have no problem with people supporting, like, hey, you screwed up. You know, get better from this, we believe in you, that kind of stuff's okay. That's, you know, for someone who hasn't messed up on this scale before, I don't have that big of a problem with that. You know, if they're, like, yelling at people, like, that he's innocent and, you know, it's ridiculous, and, you know, that's a different story. But But anyway, I want to touch on that. There is plenty of hate out there for him. I think he's well aware of it, even before this, that there's a lot of people who don't like him. But,
sure.
Yeah, there was a bigger accident here or a much bigger crime. There'd be a lot less people, but there would still be those believers out there who would, you know, be saying he deserves forgiveness or it wasn't true. People are just hating on him and, you know, all that ridiculous stuff that happens. I mean, in the world of Twitter, where everybody can have a voice, all these morons are going to, you know, come out of the woodwork. But I would think it's a minority, a very, very small minority.
I think it's safe to say that if you have a rise to fame in your teenage years, your entire late teens to maybe mid to late 20s, you're going to be kind of fucked up. I think that's just kind of par for the course, unless you have a really solid foundation, unless you have a good family who's taking care of you, and that you don't let it get to your head. And by not letting it get to your head, I think you have to know who you are at heart and not let the money and the fame define you. If that happens, then you're going off the deep end. I mean, you've seen it with so many different celebrities. Apparently Shia LaBeouf, or I don't know how to pronounce his name, he's apparently gone crazy. Somebody else has gone crazy. You know,
right.
The fortunate enough thing is that some of these people are able to kind of bounce back from that and say, you know what, yeah, I really screwed up. Yes, I was an idiot. But, and, you know, now they're kind of, you know, moving away from that. But I think it's kind of par for the course for these, you know, young teenagers to rocket to fame as fast as the Justin Biebers and stuff, to go a little crazy. Is it acceptable? No. Is it forgivable? No. You're still a human being, and at the age of 19, you're still an adult. You need to start acting like it. Sorry.
Yep. At some point, you have to let the teenage things go and become an adult. So I'm hoping that maybe this will shed some light and he'll do some self-reflection and realize what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, before this, it was all petty stuff, you know, just dumb stuff that he was doing, just kid stuff, you know. Well, and granted, given his stature, it's a bigger deal. But, you know, the like, peeing in a restaurant bucket and whatever when he said Anne Frank would have been a believer and wrote that in her diary or in the guest book at her house when he was visiting it, and, you know, and throwing eggs at his neighbor's house a couple weeks ago, and then having police come in looking into that. It just seems like he's been able to kind of avoid any, you know, real trouble, and this is the first time, you know, that he's actually had to deal with it. So it'll be interesting to see how he comes out from this, but I'm also going to get sick of it because every move was scrutinized today when he was moved from courthouse to here to there.
Well, he was an idiot. He was jumping on top of the cars and waving to people and shaking their hands. Like, get in the fucking
right.
car.
Yeah, exactly. And his first tweet, whenever that comes out, it's going to be huge news. I mean, just you thought he was already scrutinized. It's going to be even more ridiculous now.
It is. Speaking of ridiculous, now, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I'm kind of on the fence. Apparently, Google has gone porn. I don't know if you guys heard about that. There's a new Google app that will film you having sex. I read this on the Huffington Post a couple of days ago or so, but it lets you watch and record yourself in the act.
And it's on Google Glass, right? Those new glasses?
Yes. Yeah, the new Google Glass. So apparently you just have to say, okay, Glass, it's time. And then, you know, you do your business, you know, you get down, and then after you're done, which I find is absolutely disgusting, it says, okay, Glass, pull out.
Of course you do.
Yuck. Yuck. So, I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on this? I mean, I'm kind of on the fence. What are your thoughts?
First, and I'll let you tackle this one.
Thanks. So, for the people that aren't technologically savvy, Google Glass is a wearable electronic. So you put these glasses on, and it has a flip down on either the right or the left hand side that gives you like a simulated picture of surfing the internet or whatever your phone. I think it displays what your phone would display. So you can read text messages, you can surf the web, and you don't have to touch your phone at all. It's all voice commands on it's called Google Glass. So that kind of gives you the backstory on what this device is. But so I hate to be cliche, but I'm going to say different strokes for different folks. There's going to be those people that will probably want to do this. I don't see how it could be a big seller, and I don't know if people will buy Google Glass just to do this. It's interesting to see where technology is going, and I'm sure that if you would have asked everybody what we'll say 20 years ago that, hey, you don't have to go to the newsstand and buy Playboy anymore. You can just surf online and see it. We would have been like, are you crazy? You're out of your mind. So I'm not against it. I think there is a select group of individuals that will probably want to do this. And when I say select groups of individuals, it's probably going to be the porn industry. It's not going to – well, I won't say it. Never mind. It could be your – grandma next door, but I highly doubt that one.
Oh,
I would hope that it wouldn't be grandma next door. And yeah, I went there. So I don't know. I'm up in the air about it. I didn't really have a chance to research and really figure out what it was all about. But just saying, okay, Glass, pull out. Come on, really?
It's actually a Shakespeare. It's a Shakespeare quote. I don't remember from where, but it says. Okay, Glass, pull out. And I don't know where that's from. I have to look
that up.
Yeah,
it's from his sonnet. I saw it earlier. Sonnet 4, I believe. I don't remember. I didn't read that sonnet. But, yeah, I read the article, and it did mention that. And I don't know what it was referring to. And obviously, nowhere near the same thing, but that's where they got it from. But... I have no problem with it. I mean, to each their own. That's cool. Do what you got to do. I don't know who would want to have sex with someone wearing these Google glasses because they look pretty stupid. But also, I read that it's similar to Snapchat in that it deletes the footage. Now, instead of Snapchat, where after someone views it, I think they have it for like 5 seconds and then it deletes, supposedly. This says the app will automatically delete any footage that you've recorded after 5 hours. So you get to record it, I guess, and then have 5 hours to watch it, and then it's deleted, which I don't know. Why would you be doing it in the first place? I feel like if you're videotaping it, it would be to keep it for at least a little bit of time. I really don't know. But I guess they're just trying to cover their bases to make sure that people don't, you know, have their homemade sex tape from Google Glass stolen. The whole thing's pretty crazy, and I would not, even if I was interested in using this product, I would not trust myself that somehow I would upload it to Facebook and everybody would see it. So, not for me,
one question,
but, you know.
That, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's one question that everybody has to ask themselves. Do I actually want to watch myself having sex?
Yeah,
no.
That's the only thing. I do
no,
not want
I'm
to
I'm a
good-looking
guy. I'm a good-looking guy. I do not want to watch myself have sex. I just don't.
No.
I think... It's weird. It's weird. There's just something not natural about that. Cause, and then it's like you kind of critique it like you would like a football game. Like your coach, all right, guys, you see what you did here? See what you did here? That did nothing. That was a whole lot of nothing going on there. And look at your face. Why do you look like that? I never saw you do that before. It's going to lead to a lot of just not good stuff. It's just... I don't know. It might be good for some people. I think the people who are more of the exhibitionists and the people who are into that kind of thing, I think they're going to absolutely love it. But I think the common folk are going to maybe use it maybe once or twice, and they're going to say, you know what, like, one, the quality can't be all that great, and two, it's just too risky because people's Snapchats are already being taken and being uploaded to the internet or whatever. This leaves you open for so many bad things, especially now that Google is able to trace everything you research. Everything you look up under Google, they're able to kind of, you know, put little tiny banners on the sides of just random stuff you looked up, you know, toothbrushes for monkeys and bras for snakes. It's all going to show up on that side. So I think that with a company like Google, they're already kind of intertwined in what's going on in your computer anyway. So I don't know. I just don't trust it.
Oh, and good news, if you're not a Google person or don't plan on buying Google Glass, there will be a free iPhone version called Glance released in early February. So As the creator says, it's the closest thing to experience sex with glass on an iPhone. So there's that as well. It'll be available on your iPhones in February.
Okay. Okay, Glass, let's pull out of this conversation. Yeah, you like that. So I was reading on the Huffington Post, and if you guys know me, I love the Huffington Post. I think it's kind of, it's all over the place as far as different things that you can kind of read, different headlines and things like that. And it seems pretty unbiased, whether as far as like political views and religious views. It's just kind of, it just kind of stays out of it. It just kind of does the facts. But apparently there was a scientific study about how happiness will have you rethinking your search for total bliss. And we can post this on our in the chat room if you guys want. I just found it very interesting. So I think for the majority of the people, we all think that we're kind of leading happy lives, and we're trying to be the best people we can, and we're trying to do things that make us happy. But apparently there's 11 things that will kind of get you in that direction. And I'll just read them off briefly. Apparently you have to make sure that the temperature is right. And I think we can all kind of vouch for that, that, you know, if it's nice and sunny and it's beach weather, we're all pretty kind of happy. We're all pretty, you know, go lucky. We want to go to the beach. We want to be active. We want to be out. We want to be with friends. But, you know, like they say on the website, you know, if it's a balmy 57.02 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, why? You know, why even get out of the house? The next one is inherit the right genes. Apparently, you can't control that, obviously. But you can kind of, they're saying that 50% of our happiness is already made up in our DNA. So I don't know how we can control that, but I just thought that was something that was very interesting. The third one for you and Burson, Christian, is to get a hot wife. So go ahead and laugh, but a 2013 study showed among married heterosexual couples, the partners are happier when the female is more attractive than the male. A 2008 study found similar results.
Hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
I definitely would be happier. I'm surprised they said couples in general are happier. I could care less if they're, quote, hotter than me. I don't, you know, I just want them to look hot to me. But also, I don't think very highly of myself. So, yeah, that makes sense. Any girl that's hotter than me, I'm, you know, yeah, I get that. But why would the girl be happier about that? I guess they just want to be the prettier one.
Well, let's take this one step further.
Okay.
If you can rate your scale, honestly, if you can rate your scale on an attractiveness scale of 1 to 10, where would you put yourself, honestly?
1 being the lowest?
Mm. Mm. 1 being the lowest, 10 being a 10.
Oh, God.
That's so difficult. So I'll go first. So I think it's a difficult one because I'm rating myself on how I think I am attractive. So it's going to be different for everybody. So other people will think that I've at a different scale. So, but if I had to rate myself, 1 being the most ugliest person on the planet and 10 being the most handsomest man on the planet, I would say I'd be a comfortable 6, 6.5, somewhere around there.
Okay. Now, the women that you guys are attracted to, where would they fall on that same scale? Where would they fall?
See that, and that,
I know the answer. I know you guys know the answer, so just say it.
So I'm unique because it varies for me. You can have the same female would maybe rate herself an 8 or a 9, and that different female may rate herself a 6 or a 7 or even a 5, and I may have an equal amount of attraction to them in my eyes. So I don't think that's a fair question, and I abstain.
Well, you can't abstain. You have to answer the question. I think
that
most
I did
people
answer.
In general, I think most people in general would not consider themselves as attractive as their counterpart, and I think that's true across the board. What?
Yeah, as far as relationships I've been in, I've always felt like actual real relationships, you know, dating. I felt that the girl was always the more attractive one in the relationship, for sure.
That's what I thought.
There have been some times, not relationship-wise, where I might disagree.
Well, those are just facts.
Yeah. But, no, as far as relationships, yeah, and people I would be in a relationship with, I would vote that way. I know we're supposed to say, like, oh, personalities are so amazing, but there has to be a level of attraction
there
as well.
And you would probably rate them higher than you would rate yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that a fair statement?
Yep. I'd agree with that, yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of where I was going with that, but I probably kind of went about it the wrong way. Men are going to rate... People are going to rate the people who they find attractive on a higher scale of attractiveness than they're going to rate themselves. In general, I could be wrong, and there are those narcissistic people out there who think they're a 10 and that everybody else is below them, but that's a small percentage. The next one is consider your political views. I'm not even going to go into that. Then it says, number 5 is maybe stop by a florist on the way home. Floral odors can make you happy. And I think if you're going to take that one step further, if you're going to give the flowers to somebody, it's making you happy already by wanting to give them flowers and see their face when they get the flowers, yada, yada, you get happy. Says ditch the dark attire, wear bright colors instead of dark colors, and be sure to include some yellow. The happier people prefer that hue, and a study in 2010 found that when people were anxious or depressed, they're more likely to associate their mood with the color gray. I find very interesting. Become a master of something, chess, or they're saying playing a musical instrument or learning chess, mastering a skill can be stressful, and stress and happiness just don't get along too well. But a 2009 study showed that over the long term, mastering something will make you more happy because it gives you, quote-unquote, cool bragging rights. The next thing is that thing about it's better to give than receive is true. And I just mentioned that with the flowers. It's better to give the person those flowers because you can see the happiness on their face, which in turn makes you happy. There we go. And then it says get some retail therapy, which I truly believe in. If you don't feel happy, just go out shopping. And if it's the fact that you're
happy
because you don't have money, still go out shopping. This one does it for me every time. Anytime I'm in a really shitty mood, I just turn on the radio. Whether I'm at home or I'm in my car, if I'm just in a crappy mood, I will turn on Britney, and I am a happy homo. It is the best musical therapy, especially being that I have to drive like 25 miles from work to home. It's a really good decompressing time. I'm in my car. I just have to make sure I don't kill people, and I listen to music. And then 11, it says, if all else fails, surrender hope, which I don't know what that means. So which one of these do you guys find that kind of makes you happy? Or how do you guys get yourself into a happier mood as opposed to, you know, when you're in that really crappy place?
I understand all of them. I think for the most part, I'm in line with those things, or I believe that they are accurate. There wasn't a lot on there that, you know, a few of them were just either out of your control or they're kind of long-term things. When I'm just, like, really super bummed out, yeah, retail therapy usually works for me. buying something, getting myself something or, you know, something I've been wanting or whatever, that'll usually at least get me perked up a little bit. But that, you know, is that the best thing on the list? No, I think some of the other things are better for long-term happiness. The retail therapy is good for, like, a short-term issue that you're having.
But so I think,
like,
go ahead. For me, I'd like to do retail therapy to get a hot wife. Wouldn't that work?
Oh! There you go.
No, I'm just kidding. So, no, the retail therapy would be a good one. The retail therapy would be a good one, but I combine the two together. So if I'm down, I'm whatever, in a funk, if you will, I'll go out and buy something for somebody else. So I get my fix on the retail therapy, but I also get the fix that I'm going to be giving this to somebody, like the cup. It wasn't because I was down, but I knew getting that cup, you would open it up and you would be instantly, you'd have nerves opening up because you had no clue what it was. And then the instant probably, oh, my gosh, this is a perfect gift, and laugh for a half hour. And then, okay, well, I think I can use this. So it's got the twofold to it. So.
Right. I guess that's true. But you're right. When you think about happiness, there are short-term happiness things that you can do, and then there's long-term happiness things. And I think the long-term happiness things is when you really just kind of need to get into that place, or it's something that you do, or it's a ritual that you have that just kind of, it always gets you there. Like for me, it's music. I know that if I'm in a bad mood, I can just play some music and I'm fine. I also like doing photography. I do things that I know that I can do forever, and I don't need to have any money to do it. I can just do it because it's something that's good for me. Or there's rituals that I'll do. Like I'll go and I'll clean the entire house, and I'll open up all the windows on a nice spring day, and I'll buy some flowers, and I'll set the flowers out on the table. It's things that you're able to surround yourself with, the things that make you happy, that I think in the long run, when you keep those activities up, will keep you in a happier space in general. But I do like shopping.
Who doesn't?
I don't know. There are certain things that I like to shop for, and there's other things that I'd rather just, throw myself out of my bedroom window. Like, I hate shopping for clothes. I hate shopping
for
clothes.
I shop with a purpose. So I don't shop just to walk around and look at stuff and window shop. If I'm going to go shopping, I'm going to get something, and I'm going to come home. So that's I hate shopping if it's just the meandering, walking around, killing time shopping. That irritates the hell out of me.
Have you been shopping with a woman?
Is the correct response for that one. That is true. I have been shopping with many females. Now, there's the task-oriented females, and then there's the meanderers. So if they're task-oriented, we're all on board. We're A-okay. But the window shoppers and the meanderers, unless it's fun for me, then absolutely not.
Yeah, and the girlfriend meanders around like a Target, that can be okay. I can usually find something to entertain myself. There's a lot of different sections to go into. But when she's meandering around a clothing store with just clothes for her, I get bored really quick.
I've checked out.
Yeah, big time. And even Target, after a while, I can kind of be like, all right, I can only look at so many things here, But for the most part, she's pretty task-oriented, but there are times where there is definitely some meandering going on.
And the meandering is more about clothes or more about household stuff or what?
Target, it's not clothes at Target type stores, but when we go to clothing, I think the only reason the clothing stores aren't as long is because they're smaller. There's not as much retail space when you go to like a clothing store in the mall, so it's not as much meandering, whereas the Target between home stuff, and just all the different departments, whether it be bathroom or bedroom or living room or den, that can go on for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that. I can understand
IKEA.
That.
I'm just going to throw out IKEA. That's it.
I love IKEA.
I haven't made the
you,
trip, but with the closest ones in.
I got excited.
No, it's like the closest IKEA in Charleston, isn't it? Like Charlotte or something ridiculous?
There's one in Charlotte. There's one in Atlanta. And then if you want to go further south, there's one in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, I've not made the trip, and I don't know if I would care that much to make the trip to Charlotte for IKEA.
It's only 3.5 hours, which is not bad considering. But IKEA, oh, my goodness. Okay, so let me talk to you about IKEA. I went to a Rihanna concert with my friend Silver, and our hotel room was literally right across the street from IKEA. And I've never been into one. But my next-door neighbor and my best friend, Kim, loves IKEA. She gets everything from there. Plates, bowls, spoons, forks, everything. She gets everything from IKEA. She fucking loves IKEA. So I got really excited. And I was not disappointed. Oh, my goodness. You walk in to the store. For those of you who don't know what an IKEA is, it's like a big box of Home Shopping Network type of stuff where you can literally walk in and everything's kind of displayed for you. So, like, a living room looks like a living room with a TV, and a kitchen actually looks like a kitchen, but every single thing in that place has a price tag on it. So you can buy it, which is just, it blows my mind. You don't have to buy stuff that's on the shelves. You can actually go and look at these displays. Like, they're almost like little tiny cubicles where they decorate these rooms. And you're just kind of walking down, meandering through the living room section and the dining room section and the bathroom section and the kitchen section. It goes on and on and on. And you're following these yellow arrows all over the place. It is so much fun because you can actually interact with these little displays. I have pictures on my Facebook page of me pretending to be a chef in some of the IKEA kitchen set. I thought it was awesome. It was better than the Rihanna concert, I've got to tell you. It was awesome.
Well, I'm not surprised by that.
She had a good concert.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind watching her dance around, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, Britney's better. But back at IKEA. IKEA is awesome. And there's like a food court in there. Set up, there's a food court in IKEA. Apparently the food's not all that great. We didn't eat there because we ate at a place called the Rainforest Cafe, which is fantastic. But apparently they have food there, blah, blah, blah. But the only bad thing about IKEA is everything comes, it's assembly required, not some assembly required. You have to build the entire thing by yourself. Which for some people, that would drive you crazy. It would drive me crazy, but the fact that I can get a bed for $76 and a dresser for $56 and a lamp for $13, it's worth it if I have to put it together myself. Because you're not paying that other person to put it together for you. So it saves money in the long run. Yeah. Anyway, Chris, you don't like Chris Worthy, you don't like IKEA?
I've been to IKEA once in my life, and that was right after I bought my house and moved in with my then-girlfriend, who became my wife. And we had a slight disagreement, if you will, about some of the furniture that we were purchasing. So my brother has told me this story once before, and the IKEA slogan is, you come for the furniture, but you stay for the family disputes. So I find that kind of ironic because he told me this after I had gone to IKEA, but before I had told him my story. And apparently this is a good spot because IKEA is, you can walk in and get everything for an entire house. You can get beds, you can get bedroom outfits, you can get kitchen, living room, dining room. You can get everything you want out of IKEA. But usually there's differing opinions, and that's where the differing opinions come out. And for those people that know me personally, I can be a little strong-headed sometimes. And my wife was strong-headed as well. So we didn't quite see eye to eye, and it was interesting. It was an interesting trip. And then an interesting three-and-a-half-hour car ride home, by the way.
So you just springered it in the middle of IKEA?
Steve Wilkos did not come out and break us up. But no, there was no violence. There was just stern talking, and she might have stomped her foot and threw her head back a couple times. It's possible. I mean, I don't want to say for sure, but I, if I can recall it correctly, yeah.
Interesting. Christian, is it like that for you with your girl?
With shopping for house stuff?
Yeah. Like, does it get to the point where you guys are just, like, kind of bickering back and forth?
Not at all. But
does she roll her eyes at you, or do you roll your eyes at her and say, really,
no.
Do we have to do this still? No?
No. Not when it comes to buying stuff for the house, because generally I don't care. I trust her judgment and her opinion on that stuff far more than I trust my own. If she picked up something absolutely
right
hideous, no, I would, I no, not at all. I would say something, but generally I don't care. So if it comes down to two things and they both look fine to me, I would rather her pick than me because I really don't care.
Interesting.
So you don't have to, you don't have to worry about two differing opinions when it comes to that. Now, there's other stuff I'm sure we'll disagree on, certain plans or certain activities we want to do, but when it comes to house stuff, no way. I just I don't have strong opinions, and generally anything that she chooses, I agree with, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think I'm Chris Persons, but I think I'm pretty kind of headstrong, and any of you who know me know that I'm not lying at all. But I'm pretty kind of headstrong when there's something that I want or, you know, there's something that I like. The tough thing is that Matt is kind of the same way. So we don't necessarily butt heads, but he's willing to call me out on my bullshit. So I'll say, you know, whatever, I don't want it. He's like, yeah, let's go. I was like, no, but I really want this. He's like, what did you say you didn't want it? Well, I really want it. I was just trying to damn you. I was just trying to get it with you saying for me to get it. Never mind. So we have this kind of arguments where it's just like, if you want it, just get it. Well, I don't know if I really want it. Oh, well, then don't get it. But I really want it. Well, then just get it. I don't know. I'm pig-headed, but I'm kind of strung out because I have some buyer's remorse, so I'll buy something and I'll say, you know what, I really shouldn't have bought that. I really could have saved my money and gotten this, or I really should have spent this money on this. And then there's a lot of that. Anyway. All right, Google Glass pull out. So it has to come back. It has to come back. It's just so weird.
I'm down with that.
So we're down to our last 8 minutes, and there's one conversation that I want to have with you guys. It's hitting the snooze button. Are you guys a snoozer, or are you guys not a snoozer?
I am a huge believer in the snooze button, which that is one thing Chelsea and I argue about. I hit the snooze so much in the morning, it drives her nuts.
On, like, average 3 or 4 times, or more than that?
Oh, God, probably more.
Oh, my gosh.
I have 2 alarms going. I'll have one at, like, you know, at whatever, 7:04, and then I'll have one go off at 7:08, and I will go back and forth hitting those 2 different ones because I just – it also depends on what time I'm getting up. If it's super early, I'm setting 2 alarms because I hate mornings. It takes forever for me to get up. If it's later, I usually only need 1 alarm set. I won't hit snooze as much. But those early mornings, yeah, I got to have 2 alarms, and I'm hitting snooze on both a couple of times.
What about you, Chris Burson? Are you a snoozer?
No, I am anti-snooze all the way. When my alarm goes off, I am up, I am ready to go. I may ignore my alarm and turn it off, but I don't hit snooze and fall back asleep. What do you do? What do you do, Topher? Are you one of those that rolls over, hits the alarm, and rolls over and hits the alarm, and rolls over and hits the alarm?
Well, so yes and no. I do have a snooze feature on my – I don't have an alarm clock. I have my phone, which is my alarm clock. But I have one set for 6 o'clock. I have one set for 6:30, and I have one set for 6:50. And the little message says – for the 6 o'clock, it says, all right, time to get up. You can have breakfast and get to work early for Starbucks. Then the 6:30 says, you have just enough time to take a shower. And then the 6:50 says, you're fucking late. So it's kind of like a snooze, but I don't actually hit the snooze. But there's this website, I think it was attached to, like, the Today Show or whatever, and it's called upwave.com. I've never heard of it before, but I thought this article was interesting. Apparently, it's bad for you to hit the snooze button because what ends up happening, it says when you doze off after your alarm clock wakes you up in the morning, you're actually settling yourself up to feel less alert and productive you're more likely to be less productive during the day when you hit the snooze button as opposed to people who don't hit the snooze button. When they wake up, their body says, all right, we're up, we're ready to go. Whereas people who hit the snooze button, that cycle starts over and over again, and they just become less productive. Which I found.
How dare you?
Oh, well, I'm right. I'm in the same boat with you, buddy. If I didn't have to be at work by 8 o'clock, which means I didn't have to get up at 6 o'clock, I wouldn't hit my alarm clock at all. But I feel like it's necessary that I get that little bit of time, that little extra time, you grasp onto it. Because the pillow is so warm and the comforter is just so soft.
Heck yeah.
And everything feels so good, and you might have just woken up from, like, a really awesome dream that you want to get back to. But apparently it's really bad for your daily activities. I find it interesting that Chris Burson is a non-snoozer. Or do you find that you're productive longer throughout the day?
Well, I don't know because I haven't done the snooze before, so I don't know if hitting the snooze would make me less productive. But I have heard where if you hit the snooze button, you fall asleep for another, 5-10 minutes, but you're not really getting quality sleep out of it. So you're interrupting the sleep cycle. You're not being able to get that full sleep back, so it's basically wasted time.
Yep.
I'm a firm believer in the cat nap and quick nap, so for me, it does work. I don't know. I know I understand what it's saying, but it definitely works for me.
Well, let's do this. Let's have a little experiment. Chris Burson, I want you to set your alarm clock and then hit the snooze button. And Christian, don't hit the snooze button.
It's
when
not,
the clock turns,
that's
turns
not
off,
happening.
Get up.
That's not
Come
happening.
On. You have to be a partaker here.
I'm totally
the moderator. I'm going to keep you guys honest. I'm just saying, I think it would be an interesting little study to see kind of how your day changes if you change that one little aspect in the morning.
I mean, I would.
No
I'm
takers?
Like super busy,
well,
so.
For me, that means I've got to wake up earlier and hit my snooze button a couple times to not get
not
quality
sleep. Not a couple times,
sleep.
Just once. Just once.
Oh, just
you
once?
Snooze button once.
How long is the snooze?
9 minutes.
Everything's different. I think the iPhone's 9 minutes.
No,
nine minutes.
Okay. Your average time is
about
9 minutes.
Right.
Google it. We can talk about that on the next show. But if Christian's not going to be the non-snoozer, I will be the non-snoozer study.
Okay.
And
ooh,
I will,
that sounds good.
Uh-oh.
I will wake up. My alarm clock will go off at 6 o'clock. I will wake up at 6 o'clock, and I will go about my day. And then we're going to have to revisit this on Thursday. We're going to kind of keep track about how we normally are throughout the day versus how we are throughout the day for tomorrow. I know
I
have a busy day.
That.
I don't know if you
commit.
Probably have a busy day. I think it could be fun. And
this
Christian being
sounds
a sore loser,
terrible.
Going to have to go, wah, wah, wah.
Hey, whatever. I'll be the only one on my normal cycle, happy as can be. Everything's going to be great in my land.
Mm-hmm. But you'll be less productive.
Yeah, well.
I am super productive.
I doubt that. There's a scientific study. How can you be more productive when it says it shuts down your decision-making abilities, impairs your memory, and hurts your quote-unquote general performance once you get out of bed after hitting the snooze button? Even worse, coffee and a cold shower cannot combat it. It can take up to an hour and a half to shake off the sleep inertia grogginess, according to Rosenberg.
Oh, that's okay. I don't even do anything in that first hour and a half anyway.
You're so fucking lazy. Anyway. All right, we're down to our last minute, guys, or a minute and a half. So, again, we're going to recap. Christian's a loser, and he doesn't want to partake in no rule studies. IKEA is awesome.
Hell no.
Don't get the Google Glass. Be happy with yourself. Selena Gomez, stay away from Justin Bieber. Vote for us on the Charleston, the Best of Charleston through charlestoncitypaper.com. And I don't know. That's all I got. What about you guys?
And spay and neuter your pets.
Spay and neuter your pets.
Yeah.
And if you have pets that are spayed and neutered,
dun,
and in this cold weather,
dun, 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 dun.
Is that really? Really we're going to do that for the last, like, 30 seconds?
$1, Bob.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's cold? Bring your animals inside. Don't leave them outside. That's awful. That's just terrible.
Yeah.
They freeze out there. It's cold.
Heck yeah. Anyway. I agree with you.
All right. Until next week, guys, Christian, Burton, thank you so much. It was awesome. And
same
to
you, sir.
Thank you so much. We're going to have another amazing show next week. But until then, have a great weekend, guys.
Thank you much.
I love it.
Good night, everybody.